From Inner Systems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
Amy Sama, the VP and Chief Digital Executive at Northwestern Medicine. For those who don't know, Northwestern Medicine is a health system headquartered in Chicago, Illinois, with 2,700 inpatient beds and 11,000 providers across 12 hospitals and other ancillary facilities. Danny, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So today's topic that we're going to be discussing is FHIR as a gateway to Gen AI. Now, everybody, as you know, and as everyone who's listening to this knows, who's in healthcare, dealing with data, the word is Gen AI, and that's the marching orders on the tip of everyone's tongue. There's a lot of questions about, is this vaporware? How does this support our mission? How does it improve clinical outcomes? How do we integrate it into our workflow? You know, what should we do? A lot of organizations saying we know we need to do Gen AI, but what's next? So at Northwestern, Danny, you have a story about how you've leveraged FHIR as a means of getting there. Would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, sure. So we've been on kind of our digital transformation journey for several years now, probably 5 or 6. And very early when we started to look at how we wanted to design the platform, we landed on a kind of a FHIR-first, FHIR-centric approach for a couple of reasons. One is we really thought we wanted to leverage interoperability standards to organize and normalize the data. There were a lot of value propositions to us for that. But really, the main reason was we really saw kind of the future for healthcare data was going to be about real-time intelligence. And as the advent of Gen AI has come out, that of course is going to be very important. Being able to make inferences within workflow based on real-time data, I think is going to be the differentiator of whether Gen AI, particularly in the clinical setting, will work and will have adoption. Because we've seen kind of with traditional ML prior to kind of the advent of Gen AI that the modeling itself isn't really the hard part. It's getting the data right and it's integrating into workflow. And so I think the same is true about Gen AI, and we think FHIR can be an enabler to support that.
So talking about workflows, I'd like to dive into a concrete workflow that's in use at Northwestern. I believe you're building a cancer registry, and FHIR standards are being leveraged to enhance that functionality. Would you care to talk about how FHIR in particular is being used for the cancer registry, and then also if there's any Gen AI component?
Yeah, so I think one of the first use cases where we had a third party ready, willing, and wanted to partner with us on leveraging FHIR was for our cancer registry. So we're a nationally certified cancer center, and as part of that, we have to submit data to certified cancer registries that eventually go to a centralized body. And as we were looking for a new vendor several years ago, one of our first questions as we would talk with third parties was, you know, can you use FHIR? We were starting to push our third parties to think about FHIR integration as kind of a first step versus, you know, HL7 or batch files. And the vendor we ended up going with was very open and wanted to, because they saw the opportunity as well, that if they could figure this out, it makes integrations a lot easier for the future. So that was our first real test at kind of really using FHIR at scale. So we do have a FHIR server that's set up. It's leveraging the EHR as kind of the back end for the FHIR resources. The vendor makes API calls to get at the patients that they need for the registry, and it produces lab results, medications, notes, et cetera. And the Gen AI component of that is because they're able to get the notes with API calls, they're able to apply LLM models and try to extract data elements kind of automatically that might be embedded in those notes, things like pathology notes, which are a really rich source of information for cancer registries. And that's been a great productivity boon for the organization and for the abstractors that have to do that work. And again, proves the value proposition. Now, it's not really kind of the real-time inference use case that we have in mind, but it was a great use case to kind of dip our toe in the water and, again, really make it work for the third party, because, again, that is what FHIR is meant, is for data exchange, and that was a successful use case.
So I appreciate you diving into that. Some of our listeners are kind of on the front end of the journey that you just described, and they have business owners of various service lines at their healthcare delivery organization that are saying, okay, what, please tell me, how would I capture the ROI? What is the value proposition? you know, why would I invest in this third party to build this Fire server when we don't know that this will actually work? And maybe it works at Northwestern Medicine, but not at our organization because we're unique, special, and different. So, and you, I believe you've even mentioned that sometimes third parties will claim to be able to be Fire native, but then once you sign the contracts, kind of promises may fall by the wayside when you try to rubber hits the road. So how do our listeners who have not yet gone upon a journey, begun the journey that you've already started, how do they approach business leaders in a way of saying, just trust me, there will be ROI? How do you have that conversation?
Yeah, it's a good question. And you bring up some great points. I mean, I think the maturity of the ecosystem and vendors and third parties with Fire has been slow. And I would say 5 years ago when we talked to vendors, most were not ready. I would say these days, like you said, most at least claim to be aware and ready and want to try it, but there are some that still struggle. I think the ROI is a couple of things. So one is from a pure kind of hard ROI. So we think there's a hard ROI for our resources, our technical resources, in the sense of today, if we need to do an integration with a third party, we either have to write our own HL7 interfaces or we have to produce our own batch extracts, and that takes resources from our internal IS teams to build out those feeds. In theory, you know, using Fire and APIs kind of puts the onus and the effort on the third party, right? That's why we're using the standard. They can look up the specs that the standards bodies have defined. They can make the API calls, assuming all of the security permissions are appropriately set. And I think that's another value proposition for business leaders, is we believe in a modern API ecosystem is just going to be much better from a security perspective, from an auditing perspective, provides a lot of tools and opportunities to just, again, make sure that we're securing and protecting the data with as modern of technologies as possible. And so I think those are the two main like hard value propositions. I think there's another value proposition that's a bit more maybe altruistic or kind of a public health standpoint, is we just really believe that if Fire adoption continues to grow, there's a lot of value from a public health standpoint. You know, we thought about during the pandemic, if Fire was mature, that'd be very easy to actually know the evidence, the incidence of COVID at any given moment, just by making API calls to all of the hospitals. And so I think preparing for the next wave of public health emergencies, or how we want to deal with measuring quality at institutions, kind of embracing interoperability style standards, is valuable for the broader ecosystem. It's valuable to us to try to get ahead of it, so that we're not kind of caught at the too late in the game trying to catch up and get our data and our infrastructure set up to meet those demands.
So you mentioned three kinds of ROI, two hard ROI in terms of reducing the burden on your internal technical resources because third parties will be able to make their own API calls. And you have a modern API ecosystem is better for security and auditing. You mentioned the public health altruistics kind of component as well. I'd like to focus on the second one, security. Last year in 2024, there were a number of data breaches, most notably Change Healthcare. This really impacted cash flow at a lot of organizations, turning, you know, thin margins of 1-2% in the black to really being operating in the red, not being able to, you know, pay contractors, even staffing issues, a lot of difficulties facing healthcare because of payment issues, which came back to security last year. So how does Fire and API specifically assist healthcare delivery organizations with doing user roles and security and provisioning? How will investing in Fire be something that a CISO would love to see?
Yeah, I mean, I think our CISO, and I think most CISOs, will appreciate that the tools, the tool belt that comes around with leveraging APIs, the encryption standards, the tokenizations, the user permissions, all of that is much easier to manage and more easy to keep a centralized and monitor what's happening with all of those integrations through APIs, through other integration methods, particularly batch file transmission, SFTP file transmissions of large sets of data. Lots of opportunity for risk, right? Who knows where that file is landing at the third party? Who knows what the security permissions are on those files? You know, and I really just don't have the control, you're kind of trusting the third party is going to be responsible. And that's what contractual agreements are meant to do in HIPAA certifications, HITRUST certifications, et cetera. But I think that's what's led to a lot of the breaches is kind of some lax security practices. And I think APIs kind of minimize the risk because instead of start sending huge batches of data, we're sending individual transactions through the API calls. And again, really tight monitoring, really good encryption, really good security tokens. And so I think from a technology standpoint, the API is a much more modern system for transmitting data and brings with it those additional security guardrails.
I appreciate you delving into that, Danny. Security is an issue front and center on many kind of CIO stack leaders across the country. But they're also thinking about cloud. Cloud is another priority that many organizations are shifting when they say, look, I want to focus more on the healthcare business, the delivery of care. I want to get out of kind of the data center management piece, which, disaster recovery, high availability. I think a lot of what they're looking to shift if moving to a cloud would be, I don't want to focus on, security of data centers anymore.
Yep.
So, I believe that Northwestern Medicine has made an investment in FHIR for cloud migrations and rebuilding the enterprise data warehouse, previously having had an on-prem custom data model. Would you speak about FHIR's role in your cloud transformation journey?
Yeah, so we have chosen a public cloud provider as kind of our cloud. And our goal is to move not just the data warehouse, but a full digital platform. Our goal is to allow that platform to enable analytics, as we did with the data warehouse, but also custom application development, so custom apps and software, and AI and machine learning. I think those are the three main goals we're trying to enable with the platform. And the benefits of the cloud is, one is we need to be able to do data and ML at scale. And particularly with FHIR, that's been the challenge. If the adoption of FHIR goes where we think it could and should go, it's very likely that we could bring down our production EHRs by making the amount of API calls to it. So our intent is to actually build the FHIR server, the enterprise FHIR server, in the cloud, leverage the advantages of scalability and kind of cheap storage in the cloud to do that, and make the API calls hit that infrastructure rather than our production EHR. And so with that then also comes, as you mentioned, much better increased security, right? The public cloud providers' investments in security, both physical, both technology, both people, is exponentially hundreds of thousands times more than we could ever spend on that. And so, it's still we're putting trust and risk in a third party to manage our data and make sure that they keep it safe. But I think with the amount of investments places like Microsoft and Google and Amazon are making in security, the risk is actually less from a data security perspective by using the cloud. And that's the assumptions we've made as we've costed out and planned out our digital transformation.
So I think a lot of our listeners now are saying, great, I am on board with FHIR. I'm on board with cloud. I kind of get some of the business logic behind how I might get some ROI from FHIR and cloud. But I'd like you to tell me more about the real clinical and business use cases for ML as enabled with these FHIR APIs in the cloud. Can you tell us, how are you, improving quality of care? How are you reducing 30-day readmissions? How are you addressing your electronic clinical quality measures and improving your scores to improve your payments because we're in a value-based payment program? How can you talk about some examples?
Yeah, just first quickly on the last point, I think that was another reason to embrace FHIR, as we fully expect the federal government is headed towards a world of digital quality measures in which they make FHIR API calls and calculate the measures themselves. So getting ahead of getting our data ready for that, I think gets to the points you're making about ensuring that we have clear and accurate medical record to respond and reflect the quality of care we provide. But the real kind of clinical use case that we're embarking on now, and I will say this has been a journey. We're still on the path to build out this FHIR server and really get it live and operational with real-time production data. But we started planning out a use case for rebuilding a current ML model that's been embedded in our EHR for our ED triage use case. So patients come into the emergency department, We want to provide the triage staff a quick score, risk score, based on the factors and of data that are in the EHR at the moment, including some textual components of notes from prior visits, as well as documentation the nurses might put in at that moment. And so right now we have a model that's running on-prem, but we think there's opportunities to leverage things like GenAI and LLM and things like the kind of modern foundation models that might exist and be available in the cloud to kind of improve the accuracy and the usefulness of that score. And so that's our first use case. We're planning to make inferences using FHIR API data, and we'll train the model in the cloud based on historical data, but then run the model and deploy it again in the cloud, where we'll make the API call, get all the data elements needed, run an inference, and then provide that in real time to the triage staff.
I want to circle back kind of almost to an academic topic for a second. The third value proposition, the public health COVID API to figure out the national incidence, not going to help the bottom line Northwestern, but maybe good for the whole country. That's the vein I'm going to ask my next question in. So So for example, ChatGPT is owned by OpenAI, and Microsoft has a stake in that, and they license out Copilot, and you can take the Copilot instance on your own private server, keep your PHI private, and then train your own models, for example, to create this quick risk score in the ED at Northwestern. But then, 2,500 healthcare organizations may be doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a lot of redundancy of effort. Potentially, this could be a more efficient process if everyone were to collaborate. Of course, the risk would be HIPAA violations with PHI and, potentially data getting out there and not used for patient care, but for profitability in some company. So I'd like to just ask you for kind of a fun second, just to depart from our jobs for a moment. What would be a way of is there any way you can envision of collaborating with other healthcare delivery organizations so that not each organization needs to reinvent the wheel, training essentially Copilot on their own data to get a use case that's applicable everywhere?
Yeah. I mean, I think to answer that question is another proof point for the investments and kind of the adoption of FHIR, right? The reason, the challenges that we have with collaborating and kind of making models reusable is the data, right? Data is not, even if you're on the same EHR, one hospital's data is going to look different than another hospital's, even on the same platform. And so FHIR, as kind of, as was intended, as an interoperability standard, should provide kind of that playground of where we can kind of look at data the same across institutions. Now, full transparency, I don't think we're there today, right? You still make a FHIR API call at one institution, make the same API call to other ones, and you might get slightly different levels of completeness and things like that. But if we as an industry further adopt it and move towards that kind of vision, then you could see the ability for collaboration. Hey, we all have our data in the same format. Let's bring it together with the right, privacy and security and consent from patients and build the model together. And this is where I think the cloud providers are really banking on. Let's build a marketplace of models where we may have built a model that works. It's using FHIR data. Hey, let's make it available in some sort of marketplace for other organizations to leverage and deploy into their organizations. They don't have to start from scratch. Again, the key there is the data has to look the same. And that's why the embrace of FHIR is important.
So in that marketplace, actually, this comes kind of full circle to an earlier part of this conversation, which is, maybe instead of having a 1-2% margin as a healthcare delivery organization, you're getting out of the data center business, but you're getting into the software development LLM business, and you can license out the model that you create to other organizations to buy, and that can generate a new revenue stream and therefore demonstrate the profitability or ROI of investing in FHIR. Care to comment?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is an aspiration for a lot of organizations. To your point, every health system is looking to diversify some revenue streams and looking at things like innovation as a place to do that. And absolutely, I think I could see a world. Now, again, this is where I do think FHIR is going to become so important. It's really hard to do that if you have to retrain the data on every organization. So not even just retrain, you actually have to extract the data individually because the data is not structured the same. But if we can embrace a standard like FHIR, there's an opportunity to eliminate that step and kind of allow the scale of kind of that marketplace to grow quickly.
So I have kind of one doozy of a follow-up question as we approach the end of this podcast episode. We've covered fire, we've covered cloud, we've covered a wide range of topics within those two buckets. You know, but everyone knows about GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. What measures is Northwestern Medicine taking to ensure that your data is clean, that you have normalized data, aggregated data, deduplicated data, that, you know, as much as these, you know, embracing these larger models and the integrations, they're only as good as the data that they're trained on. So how to ensure that you have clean data?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge. I can't pretend that we have the answer, but we are focusing on data quality as part of our strategy and kind of building it up front as the data lands in the data lake. How do we build the right kind of quality tests and scripts and compare that data to kind of the source of truth data to make sure we have completeness and accuracy? I actually think this could be an opportunity for LLMs to really help us. Is LLMs have the opportunity to help with the normalization of data, right? If you look at an individual hospital's medication data, right? There's thousands of rows just for this, for one medication, for Tylenol, right? Thousands of rows of different variations of Tylenol. An LLM might be really useful to say, hey, I'm looking for Tylenol. I'm going to read through all of those. I'm going to find those thousand rows rather than having to individually map row to row. I think that could be a really promising next step for how LLMs enable kind of AI at scale and ML at scale, something we're starting to explore and have done it internally, but we haven't kind of operationalized it yet. But we're looking forward to kind of taking that tactic as we move forward.
Thank you, Danny. I have no more questions for you, but I'd like to offer you an opportunity to speak to our audience. They've just been listening to this conversation about using FHIR as a gateway to Gen AI. Any final words of parting words of wisdom that you'd like to impart upon your peers across the country?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing is that traditionally FHIR is thought of as a information exchange standard, right? And that's what it's built for, right? API calls to exchange information. I think growing, and we're seeing this from big platforms like the cloud providers, the idea of FHIR for persistence, how do we also persist the data in a data lake, build an analytics platform, build a platform by which we can model create models off of FHIR-based data, I think is the growing trend. So if you aren't, you know, well-versed on FHIR and are interested, I would definitely take it from both lenses. Think about it. How can FHIR be useful to me for exchanging data with other organizations, other entities, but also how to use it for kind of as an analytics data model and hope that the industry buys into the vision as we do and that we see it kind of grow in its adoption.
Well, thank you, Danny. For our listeners, this has been Danny Sama, the VP and Chief Digital Executive of Northwestern Medicine. Danny, I appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.